Okay.
Recording in progress.
Right. So we left off in the previous shiur, trying to define properly what constitutes Kiddush Makom Suda. So we said, although there was some Rishon and Tosfos and the Gra followed that view, that Kiddush Makom Suda requires mamish pas. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the view of the Gaonim that other things can suffice as well. So what are those other things? So either Chamesh B'nei Dogon in terms of Mizonis kind of a food, or even maybe B'shas Echak, even wine itself could cover as Kiddush Makom Suda. Can we lower the bar even further? So in the Shulchan Aruch, no. In the Shulchan Aruch, I can't lo yeser. But there is a view that appears quoted in
Al-Michya?
The Shulchan Aruch just quotes Al-Michya and Al-Yefin. That's it. Nothing less than that. So there's a Shulta Gibayim that says that maybe Paris are also good enough. That you're stuck, you can be Yaitzer in Paris. So we usually don't follow that view, but Shmir Shabbos Kuchos quotes that way, Mam Shashasar Chah. A guy can't have Mizonis. A guy, sometimes you have people who the guy is gluten free, he's alcoholic, he's a grape shot. I give you a whole story why there's nothing you can have except for an apple. So what are you going to do? Better than nothing. So according to some poskim, That would also be sufficient. But under normal circumstances, we're not going to lower the bar any lower than Mizonos or even B'shas Echak Bar Pi
Abba. Does that mean Al Ha'etz or any fruit?
It's fruit.
Meaning not just Dal Meat.
Apples also. Try pears also.
Any.
There is a shaila that the poskim discuss on Pesach. A lot of people have this problem. They want to make a Kiddush after davening. And they're machmir on the brach, so there's very little mezonos that's available for them. So what can they do? So the pashim pshat is nothing. They should wash up some matzah. Sure, they should have a real kiddush makom suda. So is there any eitzah? So there were some who wanted to argue that maybe the pesach cakes are good enough, or the shahakol cakes are good enough. So how can we possibly justify having the shahakol cakes? So according to the Shulta Gibayim, maybe it's okay. It's potato starch. So if you'd have a piece of, if you have a potato, so that would be like Paris. Maybe Paris is not enough Gibayim, right? Maybe Paris Adam is also good enough. So maybe you can kvetch. And maybe the Pesach cakes are like having a fruit. So again, that's a stretch. I got to be stretch. It'll be a kvetching of a kvetch. I'm not sure which one you want to call it. So is there any other way to defend this practice? So Reb Moshe has a chiddush called Reb Moshe claims that when it comes to Kiddush in the daytime, so we do require Kiddush Makom Suda, but in order to be mata the Isra of Achila Kodim Kiddush, which we spoke about in the previous year, so maybe you don't need a Kiddush Makom Suda for that. I mean, you're not really Yotze Kiddush, the Tekor Schom is a Kiddush Makom Suda, but a Kiddush Shlom Makom Suda is at least it's a mashu, it's a something, and it's enough to be mata the Isra of Achila. So therefore you can sanction, I'll make Kiddush, I'll have my Shachok, I'm not really Yotze Kiddush, I was Yotze Kiddush to the degree that I'm permitted to eat my shakal cakes. So the Pesach programs are relying on that. So I don't know, check with your Pesach program whether you want to rely on that on that kula or not.
You shouldn't make it like a full suda though. I mean, you should probably not have like a lot of cake.
Well, you can have as much cake as you want. Then you have to wash later to have your Kiddush Makom Suda.
So you have to make Kiddush again later.
Yeah, according to this boy, you would have to for sure make Kiddush again later, right? Right. Okay, so again, so we spoke a little bit about just what constitutes, how we could stretch the bar a little bit in terms of what constitutes Kiddush Makom Suda. If you go down the route like most people follow, that a mezonos is necessary, so let's say you have a typical Kiddush in Shabbos morning, so you have your Bar Pi Abba, and you have your mezonos, and you eat and finish, come on, you're done. Now you go home, you sit and learn, you go take a walk, and then you come home to eat your Suda an hour later, so what do you do next? So according to the Shulchan Aruch, you just start Yisud. You don't have to make Kiddush over again. What do you mean Kiddush a second time for? According to Shulchan Aruch, you'd say the Shit Zagbayim, that's called Kiddush Makom Suda. Now you're done. Now you go have your Suda Shabbos at a later point. So there is a practice that some people have to make Kiddush a second time around. So what's the Svara of that? So according to Ramosha, it makes a lot of sense. According to Ramosha, even if the Mizonos didn't count as Kiddush Makom Suda, even if the Gro's right, so you could eat the cake, and then, no pun intended, you have a cake and eat. You'd eat the cake first, and then you were not really Yaitse Kiddush. Then it would make sense to make a Kiddush second time around. So the Rav was machmir for that for a different reason than Gamre. The Rav said that if you went to a shul Kiddush and you had your Mizonos, afa b'chaim, and you get home, you should make Kiddush a second time. Why is that? So the Rav explained that the reason why Klal Yisrael are so lenient to have these Kiddushes, Shabbos morning, we make Kiddush, have some Mizonos, and call it a day, So it's a very, very big chiddush. The Gaonim is a big chiddush. Shulchan Aruch is a big chiddush. Taisus is fakir. The Gros is fakir. It's not at all partial that we pass it like the Shulchan Aruch. So the Rav said the reason why the Olim is omeka is like a shtickle sveik sveikah. That number one, maybe the Gaonim and the Shulchan Aruch are right. The Yomtim is that they're not right. Maybe the Rav is right. Who's the Rav? What Rav? Rav was from earlier in the week. The Rav said that the Isra of eating before Kiddush doesn't apply to Kiddush in the daytime. Remember when we spoke about some of the powerful distinctions between Kiddush at night and Kiddush in the day? So one of the distinctions was, according to the Rabbi, that the Isser of eating before Kiddush was never instituted by Kiddush in the daytime. So do we really follow that? Not really. But says the Rav, that's a shtickle sveika, midei sveika le'nafka. And therefore, we can justify making Kiddush in the daytime and having some mezonos, a sveik sveika. Maybe the Shulchan Aruch and Gaonim are right. But as long as they're not right, maybe the Rabbi is right anyway. But the minute that we're pulling the Ravid into the Cholent and we're saying that we're relying a little bit on the Ravid, that's going to necessitate making a second Kiddush when you get home. Because if you go down the route of pure Ga'inim, you really believe the Shulchan Aruch and the Ga'inim are right, there is Yaitse Kiddush Bacham Suda, then there's no need to make a second Kiddush when you get home. But if you hold that, we're not convinced the Ga'inim are right. We're willing to be mitzarif them, bitsi with the Ravid, but according to the Ravid, you weren't Yaitse Kiddush. It's just that it's okay to eat before Kiddush. It's like Ramosha's word a little bit. Ramosha's. The Ravid said you can eat before making any Kiddush. Moshe said you can eat before making a Kiddush of Kiddush Makam Suda. So it's similar in that vein, and therefore you would be required to make a Kiddush second time around. So yesh v'yesh, so that some will follow the Ravid's view, some will follow the Rav's view, and some will follow the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch. So you have across the spectrum. So you have those who hold like the Gros, say you cannot go to any of these Shul Kiddushes, you have to wash and finish, nothing short of Hamotzi. Then you have within the Minhag Olam that people are making, you have a further breakdown as to what exactly is good enough Kiddush Makom Suda, and then are we really convinced that it works, and would that necessitate making a second Kiddush again? So you have across the spectrum in this one.
Is that typical to say
Sveik Sveika like that? Yeah, it's not a real Sveik Sveika. It's not the close Sveik Sveika. It's like Tzir Fashitas. This is like, it's probably okay for multiple reasons. It's not a real formal. It doesn't need all the trimmings of Ksuba Stav Tes.
The first reason is because we're just stop.
We disagree. We follow. The what? What?
Some just say we're chushish for shitas tosos, and that's why you have to make it again.
No. Again, the Rav just said that we're not convinced that tosos is wrong. We're just willing to be makel against tosos bitsi of the Ravid.
Not the Rav's view. The view that the other view as to why we have.
To make it. So according to Rav Moshe, you could say like this. According to Rav Moshe, you could say tosos is right, and really you need kish bapa sud of lechem. But I'm allowed. But once I made a shvacha kiddush, I could. It's like the Pesach programs. So all year long with Pesach programs. That the same way that Pesach programs they eat al smach the shvacha kiddush. So to we're eating al smach the shvacha kiddush. But you want yotze kiddush, you have to make kiddush second time around.
So we're yotze all. Ramosh is saying we just.
According to Ramosh, we want yotze. Right. Again, if Tosis is right, we want yotze at all. Ramosh probably held that we don't really follow Tosis.
I'm saying it's just like
what's the problem with just making kiddush again? All you're doing is you're saying a gafin.
Absolutely nothing.
You're saying psukim.
Absolutely nothing wrong with it. I don't want to make it a second time. I don't want to be bothered. It's late. I want to eat lunch. I want to go find a bottle of wine.
I mean, do you, like I remember we spoke a little bit about this last time. Do you even really have to make Kiddush the first time on Shabbos morning?
Yeah, but the Rabban, you have to make Kiddush on Shabbos morning. Wow. Yeah, that's the thing.
And if you don't, what's
the... So then you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of one of Kiddush on Shabbos morning, and you're not allowed to eat before according to most of
Shabbos. Right.
Okay.
But isn't... So I thought B'makom Suda meant you have to do it literally the place you have the Suda.
So that's the Gaonim watered that down and said that Suda doesn't mean Suda Selechem. Suda means Mezainis. It's also called the Suda for these purposes. You're not Yaitse Suda Shabbos. So that's the whole punchline of the Gaonim in the Shulchan Aruch, right?
So what if a person wants to not have his Suda in Shul? Then...
What do you mean? Sorry.
Meaning
Shabbos morning, davening's over, and he wants to have make Kiddush in Shul and have a piece of cake and have some Shul or something in Shul. So according to the Gaonim, you're allowed to do that. Then when he gets home, he should have his Suda.
And that's not a Suda at all when he gets home?
That's a Suda Shabbos. That's a Suda Shabbos. You're not yet Suda Shabbos without washing. So you have to have bread to be Yotze Suda Shabbos for Pashas. So with that which I had in Shul, is that my Suda Shabbos? But the Gaonim's Chiddush is that it doesn't have to be a full-fledged Suda Shabbos to constantly Kiddush Makom Suda. That was the breakthrough of the Gaonim, that the Gros said was not true. Tosfos said it's not true. There's a fundamental machlokes here between the Gaonim against Tosfos, Shulchan Aruch against the Gros. For the rules of Kiddush Makom Suda, does that mean a Suda Shabbos with all the trimmings of a bread with a real challah? Or does Kiddush Makom Suda mean some kind of an achila is also good enough? You just can't make a bar off in the middle of nowhere. So that's this running machlokes. So simple pshat is everybody follows the Minhag HaGaonim. So the Rav said, not really. We only follow the Gaonim, it's here if they're Ivan. So the Rav Shtibul Torah will force you to make Kiddush a second time.
So anytime you have a Suda on Shabbos, Suda Shabbos, do you need to have Kiddush before it? Meaning, if you make Kiddush in Shul, And then you had a piece of cake.
So according to the simple pshat, the Shulchan Aruch, there's no need to make kiddush seven times.
No need to make kiddush. And then what you eat again later is what? Is your shiddush at that point?
No, it's your suda Shabbos. You weren't yotzei suda Shabbos. That's exactly the punchline of the Gonim, that you could have kiddush bubble suda without being yotzei Shabbos. It's not a steer.
It's just interesting to me that you could separate them, because I thought they were...
That's exactly what the Gonim said. So you think, like, you must be a descendant from the Balataisis. You must be from the Vilna Gonim, from Vilna. They didn't separate it. That's exactly this nikud. Okay. So good. So let's say we're going back to these shul days, all right, where you have where you're making your kiddush and you're making a little shvach asuda, you have a little piece of cake and shud. So mistoma, you have to have mezonos and you have to have a kazayis and mezonos, because otherwise it's not enough to make an alamichyon, so that's not enough for kiddush macham suda, even according to the gaonim. So pashup shad is you can have a piece of cake, some cookies. Good, very good. Now, you know, there's a nice kiddush over here, you know, the 17 plus kiddush. So first you're going to do little rounds a little bit. You'll have a little, you know, for the old style, you know, take a little herring with the hamish at the table, have a little herring, a little filter fish. Then you move on to the, a little bit more modern part of the kiddush. You go to sesame chicken, you go to the wings. You know, then you go back to the hamish, guys, a little more cholent, and then you test out the kugels. You have the potato kugel, then you have some sweet lakshin kugel, because one side you use galtian, and you have the salt and pepper kugel, the lit fish. You have covered on all ends. And tachas, you're stuffed to the gills at that point. So you are yaitze kiddush makam suda gavald, according to the gainim, you're good to go. You may have just become ischayv in birchas hamazon, min haTorah. Why? Wow. Because of the following, that the Gemara says in the sixth Bechmas and his brachas, that there are certain kind of foods that are not lechem gomor, but they're not nothing either, that was called pasav b'kistin. Pasav b'kistin, according to the way many assume, means that you have flour and mixed with other things, it was baked together, and it's pretty much baked like bread. The only thing is that it's got other things mixed into it, it's got sugar in it, it's got honey in it, it's got chocolate chips in it, it's got things that are not usually a bread kind of a food. So that's an example of a pasta bakista, which probably covers most of our pastry, most of our cookies or cakes are like that. So if you have a pasta bakista, so the Gemara says that it's not really bread, you make mezonos and almichi on it, but if you have a lot of it, you have kviya suda on it, then you have to wash and bench. You have to treat it mamash like regular bread, make a mozi on it. So it's a funny kind of a food. Real bread, even if you have one slice of bread, you have to wash and bench. If you have, let's say, 16 bowls of cereal, that's a nothing. That doesn't look like bread. Well, no shaykhus to bread. 16 bowls of pasta, you don't have to wash and bench. But if you have the middle ground, called pasta b'kistin, so then depending on how much you had, you have to wash and bench. What's called kviya suda? So there are different opinions in the poskim, what's called kviya suda. So the Ramayisha Paskin, the Kviya Suda, means the amount of food that an average person would have at dinner, let's say in America, a main meal of supper. So a person at a regular dinner would have, not a guy who's washing, he's not having mezonos, he's having chicken, he has some salad, some soup, he's a leftover kugel or something, maybe some leftover cholent. That's his dinner on a Tuesday night. So you have to count up how big is that dinner, how much volume, how many eggs worth is that dinner. If you sit down on a Tuesday afternoon and you have X amount of those eggs worth of cookies and cakes, you have to wash the bench. That's what Moshe's understanding of the sugya of Kriya Suda is. So comes the Magen Avram and says, let's say as follows, let's say, Magen Avram predated Moshe, let's say, instead of sitting down and having 15 eggs worth of cookies and cakes, I had one kezayis of cookie and cake, but I accompanied that kezayis with a lot of other foods, and I had the total sakakol amount of what people would call Kriya Suda. So the Magen Avraham said, you have to wash and bench on that as well. He said, because once you had a kezayis of pasav b'kistin, combined forces with a kedei Kriya Suda of all the other foods, so that's a mechayv and benching midarais. That's a chiddush of the Magen Avraham. Not everyone agrees, that's what the Magen Avraham says. So now we're in a little bit of a pickle here at this kiddush. So I have to have my kezayis of cookies and cakes, or else I didn't fulfill kiddush makom suda. If I leave out the cookie and cake, I just go for potato kugel and poppers and sweet and sour meatballs, that kind of stuff. I leave out the mezonos. So then, unless I'm remoish in the Pesach program, I'm in big problems. Then I wasn't yet to kiddush makom suda according to anybody. So I'm gonna for sure. I'm gonna be like the old style. I'm gonna take a piece of sponge cake, my piece of honey cake before. So I'm gonna have a yaitz and my kiddush makom suda like in the Al Tahaim, and then I'm gonna go for broke. Then I'm gonna go enjoy my American, five town teaneck style kiddush. Right? Then I'm gonna take insulted. That's right, teaneck in there also. Then I'm gonna go for my high end kiddush. So wait a second. The place can say you're trying to be so from in terms of kiddush makom suda. You just mechayev yourself in birchas hamazon deraisa, because add up what you ate. You just ate some sushi and some cholent and some kugels and some sweet and sour meatballs and some wings and everything. And that's way more than an average person would eat for dinner on Tuesday night. And to boot, you had a kezayis of cookies and cakes because you needed that for Kiddush Malchus Suda. You just became a schayef and benching deraisa. Nobody does that. Nobody benches after a Kiddush. So what's going on? So the Olam is relying on one of two things. Either the Olam is relying, maybe you don't follow the Magen Avraham. Not all Achvarim accepted the Magen Avraham. Or there was a machloikis, the Kedelia Paiskim of the last generation. What exactly the Magen Avraham meant? When the Magen Avraham said that there's a tziruf of the other foods that joins forces to create Kriya Suda with the kezayis of cookies and cakes. So there's a big machloikis of Moshe and Rosh Shlomo Zalman Rabach. What did the Magen Avraham mean exactly? So Moshe held that if you're sitting down, the Osam Mokam, I see Yeshiva, you're one unit, one Kiddush, and during the course of that Kiddush, you had a kezayis of Mezainus together with 15,000 other foods. If you reach the point of the Kriya Suda, you have to wash the bench from the Torah. Shlomo Zalman said no. Shlomo Zalman said the Magen Avraham only meant if the other foods that you're eating are types of foods that accompany the mezainis that you ate. Namely, if you have, let's say, a bunch of crackers, and you also had a lot of tuna and a lot of egg salad and all the stuff that goes hand in hand with crackers, so then we say that's Mitzuruf Yachad, that creates the tziruf to be Mechayiv Yisaf Mechzim on Nereisa. But if a guy, let's say, eats a chocolate chip cookie and has a bowl of cholent, people don't generally put cholent on top of the chocolate chip cookies, there's no tziruf, there's no shaychas between the two. And therefore, you just stop with the plain old alamichi and finish it off the bench, off the washroom. That's like what Kviya Suda. So that's
good. What if he has a couple of crackers and a big mound of potato of egg salad?
Oh wait, hold on. So this machleg is Ramesh Shlomo Zalman is in a chapanaf kumin for our kiddushes. Most people today, their kiddushes are these grandiose kiddushes, but most of the food here is not cookies and cakes oriented food. People are not filling themselves up on egg salad and tuna fish in kiddushes today. They're filling themselves up with all the other stuff. So all the other stuff is usually not mitzuruf bechlal to the cookies and cakes that they're eating. So according to Shlomo Zalman, they're good to go. According to Ramesh, it's still a problem. Again, it would be a problem according to Shlomo Zalman if you had like an old style kiddush. You had the good old crackers, you know, the old tam tam crackers, and then you guys never know what that is, and combined together with a lot of good old fashioned egg salad, like the shtibel kiddushes and herring and that kind of stuff. Eat that with your crackers. You eat a lot of that. That could pose a problem. So if you live in the more modern communities and you have your sweet and sour meatballs in your wings, so that's less of a problem, at least according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman. What if a person doesn't want to get involved in the Sol Shalom altogether? So now he's got to walk a tightrope because he wants to be Yaitzi Kiddush Makom Suda, but he doesn't want to run into this machlokes with Rosh Shlomo Zalman. So maybe it would be better, rather than choosing cookies and cakes for his mezonos, maybe he should look for a kind of a food that's mezonos, so he chaps the Kiddush Makom Suda of the Gaon and the Shulchan Aruch, but it's not called possible because it. So what possible foods are available for him? So the good old style lakshin kugel is a pretty good one because lakshin, Tosfos writes in Brachas that lakshin you never make hamotzi on lakshin. Tosfos actually quotes the word, the old French word for lakshin. He says that noodles, that's a different part. That's not bread at all. No tosa pas. It's not even in the ballpark of being related to the bread family. And therefore, you can eat all the noodles. You can eat 15 bowls of a piece of lakshin kugel and you're good to go. So in the olden days, when they used to serve lakshin kugel with kiddushes, that would be a good option. So sometimes, in my shul, depending on who sponsored the kiddush, so some people have lakshin kugel there. So if there's lakshin kugel there, so I would go for the lakshin kugel rather than going for the mezonos with the cookies and the cakes. So what, I have to fill up on cookies and cakes and then limit what I eat in the rest of the kiddush. I want to eat whatever I want. I don't want to start counting my calories in the kiddush. I want to enjoy the kiddush. I don't want to be stuck with Ramesh or Shlomo Zalman in between the two gedolei olam. So I go for the lakshin kugel. So the problem is that a lot of kiddushes don't. Lashko is like from the old school. That's not like, you know, our shul is still like a little bit, you know, we have like still some remnants of the old school. But people want a modern, a fancy, schmancy kiddush. You're not going to see too much lakshikugel. So what you will sometimes see is just see pastas. Pastas, a healthy dish. So pastas is good. Pastas is noodles. Pastas is lakshin. It's just a fancy lakshin. So you can have a. So Lefiani is 90. If you want to, you have a few choices in the kiddush. If you're talking watching what you're eating in kiddush and not eat too much, then go enjoy some cookies and have a bowl of cholent and call it a day. But if you want to have a bowl of cholent plus 16 other things, so then you don't want to rely on this machlek, you don't want to get stuck in the machlek of Moshe Shlomo Zalman, so it's probably safer to find some non-possible bikistin to it. The best, if you wash it, they serve rolls, then you can wash it every three Shabbos and you're good to go. But not everyone serves rolls in kiddush.
So why even cholent like noodles?
You have to be careful to make sure you have a kezai because it's barley in the chol. Right, you have to make sure you have a kezai because it's barley. So it depends on the kind of chol. Some cholens have more barley than others. So, in the yeshivish cholens tend to have less meat and more of the other things because they're cheaper. But whereas the nice, fancy cholens seem to have more meat and less barley.
A person who, according to this, would end up becoming the
Mishayev on Birchas HaMazon, but didn't actually wash, would that mean he's also Yotzei his actual Shabbos day Suda?
You mean he ate enough possible Bekistin to be Chayev and Suda,
yeah.
And he didn't want, but yeah,
he has a benching, so the person.
Yeah, yes, he's Yotzei. Yeah, he's Yotzei. He Yotzei
Suda
Shabbos, right? Right. You could be technically be Yotzei Suda Shabbos with a lot of cookies. If a guy sits down and have 400 cookies, he could be Yotzei Suda Shabbos from there.
Is there any problem with destroying your appetite for the Shabbos Suda?
That's also it's always a question about is that considered to be like a bittel of like we find Friday afternoon you're
right.
Not supposed to eat a lot. So here you can argue that here I'm doing Einig, I'm enjoying the Kiddush, so I'm doing Onik Shabbos. The whole part is I shouldn't shtel my Onik Shabbos here. I'm enhancing my Onik Shabbos. I like the 16-course Kiddush before the Chal. I don't know. I don't usually eat so much at the Kiddush. I like to eat like a mensch. I like to sit down at my own table. You know, sometimes people say, just wash the Kiddush. No big deal. So, yeah, I'm washing for some of the rabbis. I got to do the rounds. I got to talk to people. I'm bunching on my Chal. I'm walking around eating. With Mesmira, I'm seeing Yomiz and Mechubit. I'm walking around the tent. It doesn't sit with me. I like to have. I'd rather be make like the Oinim and have a normal Shabbos Suda afterwards at my own tish.
For people who like the Kiddush.
Like the Kiddush, yeah.
Ramosha explained the way that we initially understood the Magen Avraham, that it could be two separate. It could just be two
the
separate.
The Magen Avraham did that. The Magen Avraham says if you have possibly kiss that together with other food, it's bistarf. The Magen Avraham is not talking about sweet and sour chicken. He's not talking about herring. We don't know what he's talking about. So that was the Machlekes from Zalman and Moshe. What did the Magen Avraham mean? There are some Achorim didn't even see a case of the Magen Avraham. They didn't accept the Magen Avraham.
What about you only ate Hamotzi Bashal Shittis? So
the
Kishkan,
what?
Kishkan is your
No, you have to. Most Rishonim say you have to wash the Shal Shittis. We'll see when we get the Suda Shabbos. Why? Rub the Rub the Shem Hold. We don't really pass into Rabbeinu Tam. It's not right. People roll on Rabbeinu Tam. It's really Shalom Shalom Kidney.
So let's say a person wants to make their lunch their Shal Shittis. Than to wash by Kiddush.
So you can wash by the Kiddush, then go take a walk afterwards, and then you can do that.
So when does one need to start lunch?
That's another story. We didn't get to the Shabbos yet. We're still talking about Kiddush Sudam. We didn't finish the Kiddush yet. We didn't get home yet for the Sudam. Fine, so the bottom line is we have this dinner on the table called, no pun intended, we have Kiddush Bakal Sudam, we're Kedasa Kedin, we know exactly what the parameters are, and you're not really Yitzhak Kiddush Mikra, you're not really Yitzhak Kiddush without Kiddush Bakal Sudam. The Gemara raises a question in Avri Psochem about this halacha of Kiddush Bakal Sudam. About the practice that we have in shuls, that there's a practice in shul, the Gemara records such a practice, that they would make Kiddush on Friday night in shul, right after davening, they would make a Kiddush. So the Gemara says, what do they make Kiddush for? So if you hold the Kiddush Bakal Suda, who do you make Kiddush for? So the Gemara says, no, the Archim, because there were people in the shul, you'd eat meals in the shul. They would have food set up in the back of the shul. Not everyone would have an invitation Friday night, so you have an Arech who was walking through town, so you would always know, you come Friday night, you could have some gefilte fish, piece of chicken set for you back in the back of the shul. So the Gemara says that the chazan would get up and make kiddush, and that would be kiddush bakal suda lahitzi yedei ha'orchim. So the Rishonim are bothered with the question. That's good bizman chazal when they had that system. Bizman is then days of Rishonim they didn't have that. In days of Rishonim, if a guest came to shul, so then somebody wanted balbat, the rabbi, someone would bring him home to the house. They didn't just let him sit in the shul kitchen. So what right do we have to still make kiddush if there are no more orchim anymore? It's a brachal batal. It's a kiddush lab makam suda. So many of the Rishonim said, you're talking right, we should stop making Kiddush. There's no reason to make Kiddush in Shul. And forget it, it's a bracha matal to make Kiddush in Shul. There are no Orchim. So other Rishonim defended the practice of Kiddush in Shul, even in the absence of Orchim. So some Rishonim said that it was a takonas hacham that was made. That since Bizman Chazal, there were Orchim usually in Shul, they made a takon and make Kiddush. They give a marshal, it's a chazos hashatz. That the original chazos hashatz, the Gemara says, was instituted for the people who didn't know how to daven. Bizman Hazeh, even though most people, you come to shul, everybody knows how to daven. We'd have sidur in Bizman Hazeh, everyone knows how to daven.
Don't do
Yeah, that's part of the reason. That's why the minig was in some yeshivas in Europe, Lithuanian yeshivas, that they didn't say Chazar Sashatz because Rabbi Yaakov Minetsky suggested that the takona of Chazar Sashatz was only made by Mekoymis of Amaratzim, regular people. But when you have a Mokom Yuchat for Tamir Chachamim, so the takona was never made.
I wonder if in Eretz Yisrael there's like a big veer coming to that, they do have Chazar Sashatz.
I don't learn next one. So the Rabbi Yaakov had a chiddush. He said that's where the minig was in many of the Lithuanian yeshivas that they didn't say chazar sashatz because they held that mekamis tayrim. Basically, about the medrash yeshivas, the takana to chazar sashatz was never made. So the Rabbi Yaakov went on. And he said, so how come in the morning they do say? Even the Lithuanian yeshivas they say chazar sashatz for shacharis. So he writes that's for a different reason, because you have to say Elokeinu Melech Avinu. You have to say Birkas Kohanim. Hey, we're going to say Elokeinu Melech Avinu. It's not Chazos Hashatz. So Nebuch, we're stuck. We have to say Chazos Hashatz for that. But if not for that reason, so then we would be okay just deleting the whole Chazos Hashatz. That was his famous Bir Advar. So in YU, when I was a Talmud in YU, a lot of the Shurim did not say Chazos Hashatz. A lot of the Shurim, they would have their Mincha 2:30, and they would delete Chazos Hashatz. And then as the years went on, so that Minig fell by the wayside. We became less lippish, well, batish. Maybe they're more meratzim in yeshiva than they were later. That was off the record. I'm not sure what the reason is, but slowly but surely that practice fell by the wayside. But in the real hardcore lippish yeshiva in Lakewood today, they don't have Chazos Hashatz in Lakewood. I know when I said that once about Tells in Riverdale, they didn't have Chazos Hashatz by Mincha. Even though they don't say Chazos Hashatz these places, Mincha was three times as long as here, because it's in silence for an effect. There's a general rule in the Olam Yeshivas is that the less you daven, the lower the davening gets. Remember when I was a kid, so I used to daven in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I daven a little shul near my house. And they said everything in the Machzor. From A to Z, every piyut, everything they said, and davening was still over at 12:30 on Rosh Hashanah. Then when I got a little bit older, so I started to daven in Tells, in Riverdale. So there they say almost nothing. Like the shishivas, they say very all the piyutim, 95% of the piyutim are gone. They only say like the big stuff. It's not a taker. The stuff at the beginning of Chazos Hashatz they don't say. And davening still would end at 3 o'clock. So on Yom Kippur they said next to nothing, and davening still there was no break. So it just means they should daven longer. And more kavanah for the Salash Ben Esrei would take a lot longer. I remember in Rosh Hashanah, Salash Ben Esrei in Tells was 1 hour on the clock. Not much from hour to hour. It started 11, 12, whatever it was. 1 hour on the clock was Salash Ben Esrei. And then Chazos Hashatz was 3 hours. And that was the... But back to our story. So some Yishuv defended the practice of continuing Kiddush and Shul, even though we don't really have Orechim, as a Tachon Socham. And Rush quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, a different one. Rush quotes Rabbeinu Yonah that even though we don't have Orechim, but there are sometimes people who come to Shul, they don't know how to make Kiddush. They live by themselves, but they're Amorats, they push it on when they say the words. They can go home, they're not going to make Kiddush altogether. So they're not going to be Yotzei Kiddush at all. So to help them at least be Yotzei Chatz or something, it's not Kiddush Deraisa or something or other. So we'll make Kiddush on their behalf, even though they're not really Yotzei Kiddush in its entirety. But it's something. Kiddush Lo Bokum Tzud is at least Kiddush Minat Torah. At least it's a something. So we'll make Kiddush on their behalf.
These
so.
The Orchim that are going to someone for dinner? Or is this just
no, some of these people are single guys. So, they go. They don't know how to make Kiddush. They don't know how to read. They don't know how to say it. Speak Hebrew. They're not going to make Kiddush.
Which we showed them all day.
But the Rosh says, he doesn't understand Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rosh disagrees with Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rishonim disagree with Rabbeinu Yonah. So the some Rishonim defended the practice based on its Takanah Chacham Kavua, like Chazos Hashatz. Others defended the practice that we're gaining something for the people of the Amoratim and Shul. And other Rishonim say not to do it altogether. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes that the Minig in Eretz Yisrael was not to make it Lagamri. That the Minig in the place of Eretz Yisrael was they did away with this Kiddush and Shul Lagamri. And that, so in Eretz Yisrael, that's not in the middle today. Nobody makes Kiddush and Shul in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutzpah, it's Yesh V'Yesh. So some of the hardcore Yekish shuls still make, the Yekis still have that minig, and the hardcore Yekis still make Kiddush out of Yom Hazeh. And many of the shuls were started by Yekis. Other things, other minhagim that's crept in. And so a lot of the shuls today have followed suit of Eretz Yisrael, but they did away with it. So in our shul, when we founded our shul, so we had to be kaveh, the minhagim of the shul. I remember, I was 18 years old. When we started the shul, so it was a very daunting experience because that shul was started Yesh Me'ayin. Most shuls don't start Yesh Me'ayin. Most shuls are breakaway from somewhere else. They got into a fight with the last shuls, they start a new shul. So very few shuls, mamash, like start literally not from scratch. So we started literally from scratch. So I remember I asked Rabbi Willig at the time about Tzurim and Hagim that we have to be Keveya. So he said to me that he never was Kaveh Minhag in his shul because he was not the first rabbi. The young Israel Gabriel started from scratch, but he wasn't the first rabbi. There was a rabbi there a few, 2-3 years before him. So this was back 50 plus years ago. So we, Mamash, had to start from scratch. So I remember at the time, we were trying to figure out, how do you Kaveh Minhagim? Where do you start with such a thing? So I followed like the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef writes that when he had to decide how to pass Kishayla, so he looked at three sources. He looked at the Rift, the Ram, and the Rush. So whatever the majority was, he followed them. So we had to look for three sources. So the three sources that we drew upon were What's the minhag in Bergenfield? At the time, there was only one other shul in Bergenfield, was Bet Eimer, Rabbi Neuberger Shul. So we didn't follow all the minhag of Bet Eimer, but we looked to them as one of the factors. Then I said that most of the Abalabatim were Tamidim from YU originally. Not everybody, but a good chunk of the majority of the Tamidim, the majority of the Abalabatim had learned in the YU based Medrash at one time. So I said, so we'll look to the YU based Medrash as another source of Amin Hagim. And then the third was, I get a vote also. I said, I grew up in Riverdale, so whatever the Minigan Gizel in Riverdale was, that's where I grew up, that's where I died when I was a teenager in my later years. So we'll look to that as a source of Amin Hagim also. So we, for the most part, tried, and that wasn't a perfect plan, but for the most part, whatever those three sources very often were similar to one another, so we kind of used them as the guidelines. So in the Wiley Spanish, they don't make Kiddush. No yeshiva makes Kiddush. I said in Beth Abraham, anyone else? They make Kiddush in Beth Abraham?
Sure.
Anyone know? Anyone from Beth Abraham? No. I don't remember what they do.
From where?
And Rabbi Neuberger Shul, I don't remember. Honestly, I don't remember. But in the Yagizma Riverdale, they do make Kiddush on Friday night. But I didn't feel that was a valid vote because Rabbi Willie told me, Bishaito, that he would have changed the minute. If it was up to him, he would have changed the minute. But because it was a minute, mamash a minute, Kavua had started 5 years before him, that they were started by, there were a lot of Yekis with some of the founding fathers of the Yagizma Riverdale, so they make Kiddush. So he didn't want to tamper with that minute. So it wasn't like really his minute. So I felt okay, so they abstained on that. So I don't remember what Beth Abraham did, but we figured, when in doubt, we'll follow the minute of Eretz Yisrael. Everyone, leave your Mizrach, everyone feels like they belong to Eretz Yisrael a little bit. They should feel a lot, they belong to Eretz Yisrael. So the mice said, actually, we don't make Kiddush on Friday night. But within those shuls that do make Kiddush on Friday night, there's a little bit of a pickle because who's going to drink the wine? Because the Mekadosh is going to drink the wine, but he's not really yet to Kiddush, so what's he going to do? So that's what the Poskim say. If you're in a shul where they make Kiddush Friday night, you have to make sure that the little kids drink the wine. So that's what the minig is. They give it to the little kids. Sometimes you have a shul where there are no little kids, so what do you do? So remember, when I was the Rav in Paramus before I was in Bergenfield for 5 years, I was the Rav in Paramus, and they were founded by Yekis, that shul. They used to make Kiddush on Friday night, and they would have the little kids drink the wine, but sometimes there weren't so many. It was more of a middle-aged community. It wasn't enough so many young couples there. So there weren't so many little kids. So I'm only going to have a Friday night. There was no kids around. So what do you do? So the Poskim say, so then the Chazan makes Kiddush, and he has to drink the wine himself. But he's got to drink a whole revius of wine. He has to make it to a Kiddush Bakum Sudam. you have to have a makeshift Kiddush Bakum Sudam.
So he has to have some cake?
No, so he can rely. The post say he can rely on the Shulchan Aruch of the Gaonim that even a revius is good enough. So the only thing is that he was Yotze Kiddush now. Meikra Din, we follow the Shulchan Aruch. Meikra Din, he was Yotze Kiddush. So really, when he gets home, he doesn't really have to make Kiddush a second time. So if he's married, he still can make Kiddush to make Yotze his wife. But if he doesn't have a wife, doesn't have kids at home, so then he should not make Kiddush a second time. So it's a mother situation. But whatever it happens, for those who follow that minute. But again, most shuls in Eretz are for sure not, even in Chutz Laretz. The trend is, I think, against the Kiddush on Friday night in shul. So slowly but surely, it's becoming the less popular minute.
Why does it seem like it's not like ideal for him to do that? Like if it's a single guy who, like, I don't know, who's like doesn't go at home, like.
According to the Rav, it's not such a great idea, because according to the Rav, the only reason why we're comfortable doing it on Shabbos morning is because we have the Raven in our back pocket. Friday night, you don't have a Raven. The Raven would agree you can't eat for Kiddush. So Friday night, we usually don't do these kunsim. Wait, did you ever go to a shul that Friday night they have a Kiddush? Don't answer that question. They have a Kiddush, you have the davening with just some mezonos and some chill and some filter fish or something. Nobody does that Friday night.
I mean, it's a shvach suda.
It's Kiddush Mokum Suda. It's a machlokes. So on Shabbos morning, we're a little bit more makel on Shabbos morning. Friday night, most people don't do that.
So, kind of a strange question. What if there's a chazan who's a single father and has a young child, and that child is in shul, and that's the child that drinks the Kiddush, and then they go home? Should he make Kiddush?
Yeah, because the father wasn't yet to you.
Should he? No, because the father himself wasn't Yotzi. His own kid drank the Kiddush.
He wasn't Yotzi. Any kid drinks it, unless he himself drinks it.
Unless he himself. Okay.
Okay, good. So the bottom line is, we still got to stick to our guns in terms of Kiddush B'makom Suda. So whatever you define the eating is, well, we define the word Suda a little bit. We talked about Kiddush B'makom Suda. We forgot to discuss the word B'makom. What does B'makom mean? So B'makom means in the same place. How close? And I make Kiddush over here and I have my Suda on the other side of the table. That's no good. That's ridiculous, of course. That's still Kiddush B'makom Suda. If it's in a different house, that's a problem. What if it's in the same house in a different room? So that's a big machlokes. I make Kiddush in one room and then I decide for some reason that I want to switch rooms and have the meal somewhere else. So that's a potential problem, possibly Kiddush B'makom Suda. So there are Rishayim who say that that if I had it in mind from one room to the next, it's all in the same building, on the same structure, as long as I had it in mind from one room to the next, so that would still be that would be acceptable. So a lot of shuls will lie on that. A lot of shuls have a problem, like, let's say you have a davening's over Shabbos morning, and they have a big kiddush scheduled downstairs, and they always make the announcement, no one should eat before the rabbi comes out to make kiddush. So I go on shkalfa, nobody listens to the announcements. So some shuls started the following practice, that the rabbi will make kiddush in shul. Means it's after Adon Olam, before everyone had a chance to walk downstairs, stop, make kiddush. Kiddush, I'm making kiddush in the sanctuary, then we're eating the meal downstairs. That's not going to work. So the Paiskim HaMekel, Mishas HaChat, you can rely on that opinion, Rishayim, to say that as long as you're having in mind from one room to the next, so that technically would be good. So it's not a great Eitzah, but each shul has to know themselves. So if the shul knows that's the only way it's going to work, so ladies pray, you have to rely on that. If you don't have to rely on it, you try not to rely on that. Yeah. Yeah. Question on Zoom.
Sorry. Yeah. So how come that wouldn't work from building to building, having in mind? Like, if someone had in mind, I'm going to have Kiddush here, but I'm going to eat my meal in.
Right. So Tosfos points out, Tosfos has said idea from the Gemara that it doesn't work. The whole kula of Das, so Tosfos limits it very, very much. Some Rishonim say the whole kula doesn't exist. If it's not the same room, it's a problem. But even within the Bekilim, so ad kedekach, that's only within the same building.
And what about, like, in your shul, like, you have a tent in the back? Can
you make kiddush in the shul and then have the meal in the tent? So the Shmir Shabbos Kochosa quotes that if it's still visible, even though it's not quite the same structure, if you could see outside, it's the same ownership, the same property, that's still considered to be Osem Mokom. So Kozban, that we didn't have a tent there, it's still not visible, because from the point where I'm making Kiddush, if you know the layout of my shul, you definitely do know the layout of my shul, so if you're making, I make Kiddush, let's say, from the front, and then they're going to go outside and eat in the backyard, so I can't really see the backyard from the front, so that probably wouldn't work. It could possibly work, let's say if you make Kiddush in my house, and then I would want to go outside and make... So that would theoretically work according to the Shmir Shabbos. That's called didn't put a tent. Not to put a tent, I can't see anything. Depends whether the walls are up in the tent. So it depends on the weather. So if it's warm outside, they take the walls down. If it's cold, the walls are up. So you have a floating tent in terms of what the standards would be. I don't know. Sometimes you have a shayla. This is a shayla. Sometimes you have a bris. Let's say a bris on Shabbos. So the person is mechubu with the bracha, barpi above lachniso. So then he's going to drink a little bit of the wine. I can drink a little bit of wine. He has to make a Kiddush Mokom Suda. So what do you mean? He'll be Kiddush Mokom. They're going to have the Suda, the Bris Suda downstairs or something. So first of all, sometimes they don't do that. Sometimes the Bris Suda is in the people's houses. Sometimes it's out in the tent or something. So where's the Kiddush Mokom Suda? So if it's going to be downstairs, that's the Halbatzar. That's a half a problem. So you can rely on, you know, Shonen maybe, you know, have in mind they're going to eat. But if it's going to be in a different structure, like Afrei, so how can I drink the wine? What right do I have to drink the wine? So the answer is, I have to make a Kiddush Mokom Suda now. How am I going to do that? So either I have to have a whole cup of grape juice. What if I don't want to rely on that? So I have to have some cookies. So that's what usually we do. We've had that on our shul a few times. We have a couple of Brisim shops over the years. So once in a while, I think more than once, I was the one who had said lachniso. So I asked them to please bring me some cookies that as soon as I finished making the lachniso. So then I sat down, had 2-3 cookies there, and that's my Kiddush Mokom Suda. So that's probably the best thing. It's a wash from your chalaros. Start eating the meal. A little bit too much, yeah.
How does it work in, like, a camp where, like, I mean, built, like, structures are structures, but, like, I guess kind of like the tent case, like, if, so you obviously own the whole camp, it's your camp.
Yeah,
if
you see still,
it's like another Kiddush space outside, let's say the shul, and that's, like, where the Kiddush is going to be. Is that
right? It's by the same means relying on those mekilim. We'll say it's all owned by the same property. It's all belongs to the camp, and it's visible, so then they're on mekilim. No, it's not the greatest. The whole thing is not a great thing. You should have Kiddush Mokom Suda. You should make Kiddush outside also.
And for everyone else, is this also applicable only the Mekadosh?
No. Whoever wants to be Yotze Kiddush has to accompany that Kiddush with the Suda. Not just Mekadosh. Okay, so we spoke about Kiddush, we spoke about Mokom. So there's one other thing to talk about that doesn't appear in the Gemara itself, but the Rishonim assume it's the same, called Zman. Namely, Kiddush Mokom Suda doesn't only mean that it has to be Mokom Suda, it has to be Zman Suda also. So let's say I make Kiddush here, and then I sit and learn for 3 hours. And then 3 hours later, I start having my Suda. That's also a problem. You have to have a tziruf in terms of the Mokom and the Zman together. So how long is the tziruf of Zman? Very unclear how long that is. Different parts have different numbers on that. So it's very hard to give a definitive answer. Try to start your Suda, by the way. The only time that we're not so concerned about that is on Pesach night. So the Pesach
so
night.
What's the range of zmanim they give?
You can have some will give a very, very short zman, and some give an hour zman. It's hard to
know. An hour?
I don't know. It's very arbitrary zman.
What's the very short?
I don't know. We should try to...
Should
try to wash right away. The only time that we're not worried about this and the Pesach night. You make kiddush and your market is 4 hours later. So yeah, that's because it's all kach tikdu chazal and Pesach night. You have to have market before you sit down to have the suda. So it's a fshteitzach on the marmoris and meshubach. That's considered to be still the oisay maimon. The place can have a discussion. Let's say I make kiddush at a time when I can't eat the suda. It's impossible. Why? So on Pesach night, we'll talk about this a little bit later when we talk about the suda Shabbos per se. So when you according to most rishonim, you can make Shabbos early and have your suda early. Pesach night you can't, Sukkot night you can't. So there's a technicality to the matzah. The Sukkot has to be dafka b'layla. So what if I make kiddush earlier in the seder? I'll jump to it. I'll make kiddush now before shkia, and then I'll have a long, long matzah. By the time I finish matzah, it'll be time to tzeitz kachom. Be time to have my matzah. So that's a kiddush problem. Maybe a matzah problem also. It's a kiddush problem. So samach right and right. That's not really called kiddush bezman asuda because it's not royal asuda. If I make kiddush and then I'm saying dilly dally for 5 minutes, so that's okay. But if I make kiddush at a time and I couldn't eat my suda if I wanted to eat my suda, that's also chisaron of kiddush bezman suda. So we'll talk about that hopefully a little bit more when we get to the early Shabbos stories in terms of suda. Okay, so we make a siyum on the sugya of kiddush b'chum suda. Let's move on to our next major sugya, which of course we segue right into suda Shabbos proper.
Before we move on, I think this was asked at the beginning of Shir, but what do we say about having to make? Is there? Because I know kind of things come up on the Gemara about how do you have to make kiddush. In the
Suda,
like, does a
Suda
require kiddush?
So is it Shaykh to have a Suda Shabbos without a kiddush? So there's a Rambam that some Rishonim read to mean that Shalosh Shudas, you have to make kiddush again with Shalosh Shudas. You can't have a Suda Shabbos without kiddush. So others question whether the Rambam even said that, and even the Rambam said it, we don't really follow that. So we know that a Suda Shabbos doesn't need kiddush proper. Okay, so there's a chiyuv of having Suda Shabbos. Where does Suda Shabbos come from? So the Gemara is a drasha in the 16th Bechlis of the Shabbos. On the pasuk in Parshas Bishlach, Yom Yishechlu Hayom, Shabbos Hayom, which Hayom Asuda says the word Hayom three times. So Hayom, Hayom, Hayom teaches me that you need Gimel Sudas. The Gemara quotes one Tana that says that the three Hayoms were referring to the daylight hours in addition to the Suda at night. So you need four Sudas. So that Tana is called Rabbi Chitka. That was his name. Halakha Tana Rabbi Chitka was the one who said you need four Sudas. We don't pass the Rabbi Chitka. When I was in Kerem Yavne, so they used to have in the summertime, so we had Friday night Suda, then we had earlier after Davi, we made a Suda, then after, then there was Seder and the Shia, whatever it was, and then you know, in the early afternoon, after Mechir Gedolah, they would have the third Suda that was Shal Shudas. Then in the summertime, they didn't get dark till late at night, the Bachar were hungry by 7 o'clock at night, so they would put out more food for boys. Right before Shkia, they would put out another Suda. So they would put out challah rolls also and other foods there. So some of the boys would wash, you didn't have to wash, you already ate Shal Shudas. So in the Yeshiva in Kerem Yavne, they used to call Sudas Rabbi Chitka. That's what it's called. So it's Rabbi Chitka. We had to Rabbi Chitka Shita. I don't know if anyone here from Kerem Yavne. I don't know if
they did this Bashita to follow that Rabbi Chitka.
No, they did it because they had nothing else to eat in Kerem Yavne. So the only thing they had was bread. So they put out bread to eat.
Rabbi actually just mentioned this yesterday at the farm.
It's Rabbi Chitka.
Just the whole Suda situation in KBY. Oh. Yeah.
Yes, that's what they used to do in the freedom.
Talked about. I don't remember.
So these two guys, I don't know if they still have it now, but that was used to nowadays. It was the joke. It was called Suda Rabbi Chitka of the summertime. Sure. Okay, anyway, back to that story. So the Gemara learns out from Sukkim that you have to have Suda Shabbos, Gimel Sudas. So whenever you see the Gemara quoting a pasuk, you have to always ask yourself, is that a drasha deraisa or is it just an asmachta? That's not really what the pasuk. The pasuk is talking about the manas. It's not talking about having challah and Burgerfield and 3,000
years. Where are these yom three times?
Parash B'shalach. V'yom ha-shechlu hayom ki Shabbos hayom la-Hashem hayom losam tzuvason. It's talking about the collecting of the man. The Moshe Rabbeinu told them, collect the man on Friday, it's lecha mishnah, and have your meals and eat the man on Shabbos. So some Rishonim say the Gemara is lav dafka. It's just a smach for the Alma. That's not a real drasha derais. And other Rishonim say no, it's not a real din derais. So you might have to have gibel sudas on Shabbos. So that's a little bit unclear. This chiyuv of eating sudas on Shabbos. So should we take the attitude that there's a mitzvah say shezman grama? Maybe women should be exempt. So all the Rishonim say that's not true. All the Rishonim say that women are for sure obligated to do Shabbos blishum suffering. The only thing is that the Rishonim are not sure where it comes from. Why is this an exception to the rule? That's a little bit unclear. So the Ran in Masechet Shabbos in that sugya called Kisvei in the 16th parak quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that the reason why women are mechuyavos mikra din to eat to the Shabbos is because of af hein hoy biyoso neis. The same way the Gemara says in the Yom of Chanukah and Purim and Dal Kaisis, women are chayavos in these mitzvahs, even though they're all zman gromos, doesn't matter. Af hein hoy biyoso neis. Rabbeinu Tam says. The women were also in the nace of the man, and therefore whatever was instituted as a zeichet to the next Aman, including the Gimel Sudas, and then the Rabbi Atam throws in for good luck Lechem Mishnah also. The Gemara says in Shabbos, you have to make a moitzi on Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos. That was also instituted as a zeichet Aman. Whatever is instituted as a zeichet Aman, zeichet the next Aman, women are obligated in the same as men. That's what Rabbi Atam says. So the Ran quotes Rabbi Atam. He says he doesn't think that's the real reason. He says the din is right, but the reason is not right. He says the real reason is because Zoch Visham Dibiachin Emru. Same way the Gemara says in Brachas Dav Chaf that women have to make Kiddush on Shabbos, have to be Yetzi Kiddush, because Zohar includes Kiddush, and women are Chayavos in Lo Seseh, which is Shmir Shabbos.
Says this? The Ran?
The Ran says. The Ran says, the emes reason why women are Chayavos in Suda Shabbos, not Rana Tam's reason, is an interesting reason, but it's not really the real reason. The real reason is because Shomer v'Zohar, whoever's Chayav in Shomer is Chayav in Zohar. So obviously Rabbeinu Tam, but the fact that he had to go searching for another Pasuk, what was wrong with the Ran? The Ran is in the Gemara already. The Gemara already says Shomer v'Zohar about Kiddush. So why did Rabbeinu Tam have to go fishing and looking for another reason to be mechayev women? What's wrong with the Ran's reason? So lechora, the Rabbeinu Tam understood that Shomer v'Zohar, Zohar doesn't mean all the mitzvahs of Seif Shabbos. Zohar means Kiddush. That's all it means. There's a fundamental machlokes here in the Tam and the Ran. What is included in this phrase Zohar Shem Shabbos Akadshu? So the Rabbeinu Tam said very, very limited scope. Rabbeinu Tam said Chazal say Zohar means Kiddush. Zohar means Kiddush, no more, no less. And the Ran seemed to understand that Kiddush is like an example of all the mitzvahs essay. Whatever is the mitzvahs of Shabbos is all subsumed under the heading of Zohar. That's like the Rambam in his Perush on Chumash says a similar kind of idea. Zohar means all mitzvahs essay. Whatever you do is a positive fulfillment. That's all considered to be part of Zohar. That's a fundamental question. Why should Rabbeinu Tam, let's say, what was the rationale for Rabbeinu Tam to take Zohar to mean very, very limited in scope, that it only means Kid, doesn't mean anything else? So the Rav explained that maybe the idea of Rabbeinu Tam and the halachic machshavah, realm is as follows. Rav is this whole idea that what's the nature of Mitzvah Kiddush? It's Shabbos anyway, whether I declare Kiddush or not. So why does the Torah want me to make Kiddush and Shabbos? What's the goal in halacha machshava of reciting Kiddush and Shabbos? It's not like Rosh Chodesh, where you need the pagans to be Mekadosh to Yom. It's not like Yom Tov, where you have to Mekadosh to the Zmanim. Shabbos is Kriya V'Kaimer. It's Shabbos whether I make Kiddush or not. So what's the goal by making Kiddush and Shabbos? So the Rav explained that, based on the Lashon HaRambam, the Rambam has in Hilchos Shabbos, that it's not enough just to refrain from halacha on Shabbos. It has to be what's called the Shvisa Nikeres. It has to be that a Shvisa is L'Shem Shamayim, a Shvisa is L'Shem Hashem. The Shvisa has to be recognizable as a Shvisa. That's why the Rambam writes, one of the reasons why Chazal instituted Mukta. The Rambam writes that there are a lot of people who retire, they don't work. So they never work, they don't work all week. So Bishlam, a farmer, plows his field, works his field all week. A tailor, he sells clothing all week. A guy's a construction, he's building all week. So he works all week, and he stops the Shabbos. He can work on Saturday. A guy's on pensia, he's on retirement. He's not working anyway all week. So how is Shabbos look any different from him? So therefore, Chazal, one of the reasons why Chazal is to the Mukta is that everybody moves things, everybody picks up money, but does a little bit of tilt all during the week. So for that guy who's retired, so we're going to throw in Mukta for good luck to make it to a Shvisa Nikeres. We're not going to make it to a corner that only the people who are retired can't move Mukta. The people who work all week can move Mukta. That's silly. So all the Klaisal has to is stuck with this issue of Mukta. That's one of the multiple reasons that the Ram gives for Mukta, to create this model of Shvisa Nikeres. So the emphasis from the time is quoted by Taizim Shavuos, says the same idea. Taz, the end of the first book of Shavuos, quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who says, that's what the word Mikra Kodesh means. Torah says you have to declare Shabbos and Yom Tov for Mikra Kodesh. What do the words mean? What do I do to make a Mikra Kodesh? I refrain from Halacha. So Mikra Kodesh means that I have to refrain from Halacha L'Shem Mitzvah. I have to observe the Shabbos and Yom Tov L'Shem Mitzvah Shabbos. If I'm just not doing Halacha because I'm lazy, a guy goes to sleep Friday afternoon and he wakes up on Shabbos, so he didn't do any melacha, but he didn't do mikra kodesh. Mikra kodesh means it has to be in the keres ayin that what you're doing is b'teres shvisa l'shem shemayim. So the Rav said maybe that's the word of kiddush. That the idea of kiddush is to ensure that that's what makes kiddush b'chnisasa. As Shabbos is beginning, I thought the very very first thing you do basically on Friday night is you make kiddush to say I'm here by being shavuos melacha l'shem kiddush Shabbos. L'shem mitzvah Shabbos. I am not on retirement. I am shavuos because not because I have nothing to do. I got plenty to do because Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world and gave me the mitzvah of Shabbos. So the whole thrust of the mitzvah of Kiddush is to create a Shri Sadi Keres. So that links Kiddush and Malacha very much. That Shomer V'Zochar D'Birach HaNemru doesn't mean this global statement that all the Lav and all the Mitzvahs, everything's all connected. That Suda and Malacha, Suda has to do Malacha. Suda has to do Malacha. Kiddush has to do Malacha. Because the goal of Kiddush is not mitzvah just stam mitzvah Shabbos. The kiddush is part of the mitzvah malacha. It's what gives the meaning of the mitzvah malacha. It's nikeres dimension. So now we understand what the Gemara says, that if you can't do malacha in Shabbos, women have the mitzvah malacha, so for shteitzach they have to make kiddush, because it's not shayach. You should have somebody who has an mitzvah malacha without a mitzvah kiddush, because then you can have a shvisah and nikeres. What does that have to do with Sudah, says Rabbi Nita? Sudah Shabbos is a different mitzvah. Sudah Shabbos is a regular mitzvah, the Rabbanan. So maybe women are pterus from Sudah Shabbos. Oh, kamash belong the Chiyavos anyway, al tz'afei Rabbi Yosonei. So, in the end of the day, there's no machlokes Rabbi Nita and the Ran. In the end of the day, they both agree that women are Chiyavos, but the reason why Rabbi Nita didn't want to go down the route of the Ran, the Rav gave this Shtickle Torah to. There are others ready before the Rav gave a different word. That maybe the reason why Rabbi Nita didn't go down the route of Shomer Zohar is because Rabbi Nita held that Sudah Shabbos is only the Rabbanan. And if it's only mid derabbanon, so what kind of shomer zocher? Shomer zocher is adirim deraisa. We spoke about this. Remember, we spoke about the Maram Chalava we quoted, who said that women don't have to make kiddush by day because it's only derabbanon. Whatever is derabbanon is not covered by shomer zocher. So maybe that's the reason why Rabbi Natan came with a new idea. If that would be the case, then maybe the Ran taka held that Sudah Shabbos is deraisa. Maybe behold Sudah Shabbos is deraisa. Maybe Avhei Rabbi Yosanes doesn't work. Tosis writes in a few places that Afei and Rabbi Yosanei says for mitzvahs derabbanan, not for mitzvahs deraisos. That's really a chanukisha. That's really a loaded question. So it could be that the two presentations that the Rishonim are giving, why women are chayavos, everybody agrees, bottom line, women have to eat Sudah Shabbos, they have to make lechem mishnah, they're chayavos and shal shudas. No bubamites, there's no story. The girl will tell you, girls don't eat shal shudas. That's nonsense. Of course, women are chayavos to eat shal shudas, the same as men are, same exact chiyuv. So we're not sure why the chayavos. So Rabbi Natan said one approach, Rabban said another approach. Maybe it's connected to the Rosh Shukotar, maybe it's connected to is Sudah Shabbos deraisa derabbanan. But Achareit likes to call nobody, no Rishon under the sun says women don't have to eat Sudah Shabbos. That's like a given. So the one, somebody wrote a sefer, or somebody wrote a psachuva, I don't remember who it was, a very, very, very difficult tshuva. They wrote that since Rabbi Natan thinks the Ran's reason is wrong, and maybe the Ran doesn't get Rabbi Natan's reason, so it's only a suffix anyway, so a suffix derabban lakul. That's not the Rabban Lakula. There was no machlokes, and they both agree that women are chayavos. They had a machlokes what the reason is, but about that they have to eat. So again, nimnu v'gam the din is.
Like an achron, like
somebody wrote
a barhachi, or just a stam.
No, I think about how I would have quoted it. Somebody said, I don't remember what it was, but it's not correct. Yeah, person's about hachis to write an incorrect tshuva. So it's not correct. So the pasuk pshat is that of course women are chayavos to eat all three meals of Shabbos and all the zeich lemanz, lachamish, whatever, lock, snack, and barrel. Fine. So it's an obligation to eat three sudas. So when do these three sudas take place? So pasuk pshat is we know when they take place. Yeah, one suda night, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. We seem to have an idea when the three sudas take place. The Rambam writes, let's say I forgot to eat the Sudah Shabbos for a night. He was sick, he wasn't feeling, he wasn't sleeping, whatever. He missed the Sudah at night. So okay, so you have all three Sudahs in the daytime. So Meikra didn't, you really have all three Sudahs in the daytime. But the normal way, the correct way of having them is that one at night, one in the Sudah broken, whatever that means, then Sudahs later in the afternoon of Shalosh Sudahs. So we have to fine-tune a little bit in terms of this man. And when exactly is this man to have your Friday night Sudah? So when Shabbos starts, Laila. That's the kickoff for Yesuda. So we already mentioned in the Sugya of Kiddush that you can make Shabbos early, make Kiddush early. The Gemara says that the favorish in the fourth pack of brachas. You can daven Maariv early after plag, and you can be at say Kiddush. We weren't sure how. I mean, it took me Vienna and the Maisa looking to have Shabbos and the Raisas and the Rabbanim and all kind of different cheshbonos. But at the end of the day, it works. The Gemara says it works. Shabbos says it works. So Tosfos in the beginning of Rabbi Pesachim and of Tzadik Tesla days quotes two opinions. Does that work for Sudah Shabbos also? Taisus is called what seems to be the more powerful opinion. Yeah, it works with the Shabbos also. No problem. You could be able to see the Shabbos, you'd be able to Yom and Shoyim. And then Taisus quotes the Yeshayim and quotes from Rabbi Yehuda another day in Taisus that maybe not. That maybe the Makabal Shabbos only works for Kiddush, maybe it doesn't work for Sudah Shabbos. So that would be a very inconvenient opinion. So what that would mean is that you daven Maariv early because your wife wants you to come home. You get the kids to sleep, so you daven Maariv early, you make Kiddush. And then we tell you can't eat Sudah. So why do you go to the early minyan for? So why do you go to the early minyan? So El Teret says you're going to eat Sudah, but you weren't really Yotzei Sudah Shabbos. Then when it gets dark, you have to have some challah at the end of the meal in order to be Yotzei. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that Lechachila you should do that. Lechachila, if you want to make it early Shabbos, you should try to remember to have a piece of challah at the end of the meal. Try to tell the Balas Avayas that you don't want to insult her that you're not full from the meal. Food is very good, but you're just having an extra piece of kazayas at the end to be Yotzei that day in Tosfos. So the kasha is, so what happened to Kishmakam Sudah exactly? So I had a 2.5 hour break until I ate my Sudah Shabbos. How does that work? So probably it works as follows, that to be yetzi kiddush makom suda, it may not necessarily have to be a suda Shabbos. Maybe it could be chazus. It's a suda. That's also good enough. So, like lamosha, when you have kiddush in Shabbos morning and you have cake, it's not really suda Shabbos, and that's also good enough. So maybe a non-Shabbos tikasuda is the halachic equivalent of having cake in the morning, possibly. Well, someone suggests that idea. So a lot of people do that. A lot of people in the spring, the summer, they make early Shabbos. So according to most Rishonim, they're probably yet. Mishabur says, bigger than you, I'd say. But not everyone agrees. So the Mishabur recommends, the Chachil, you should try to remember at the end of the meal, you have to just come to have another Kizai Zechala, just to cover your bases. But again, that's a Chumma. Bigger than you, probably, I'd say, with the early Sunnah. So Taisus writes that Bamedev Amur, that stunt works. That works in a regular Friday night, works in a regular Yontif night. Pesach night doesn't work. Why? Manishtana. You have to figure out why is Pesach different than all of the Shabbos and Yontifs for this. So for the Shabbos next year, we'll try to pick up on this. Why is it that this Shtickle Torah that we're saying on a regular Shabbos is going to fall short on Pesach night? We'll see why it may fall short on some other Yom Tov, other technical reasons as well. Okay. We'll do Shabbos on Sunday. So Sunday we are at 11 o'clock, right? Right. Sunday is a lot of class.
Same time
on Sunday. Okay, good. Okay, Shabbos, everybody.